Are you glad to be in the house of God? Amen. Amen. And what a great week. I mean, Cardinals, World Series bound. Amen to that. That's awesome. We're having a great sports. I mean, we have Cardinals. We have the Rams, actually. Wow, was that a crazy. And those who watch that. And also the Mizzou Tigers are doing good. So if you're into sports, you're loving this week, are you not? Thank you. All the sports fans were in the first service, I guess. Yeah, whatever. What time is it? Hey, it's an honor to have you worship the Lord with us today. If you're a guest with us, we give you anonymity, which basically means relax, hang out, hide out, make yourself at home. We're not going to ask you to say or do anything to draw attention to yourself. We're just glad to have you here. We want this to be a great experience. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Are you ready for the word today? Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Let's get into this. Again, good morning. We've been doing a series called Frequency, Hearing the Voice of God. God is speaking. Do we hear him? Now, this is, if you're a guest with us, this is our third service. It's a building process, and just to bring things into context, this is, in my opinion, one of the most important truths of any believer. It's your spiritual heritage, your spiritual right to hear God's voice. But it's also a truth that has been so abused and taken out of context. Because for some, they've taken it and they've made it weird. And, you know, I mean, they talk about hearing voices all the time and woo, and they get a little spooky. And then they, you know, I mean, and it's almost like they actually play up to that whole concept and the way they act, and they stop being themselves and they make God kind of weird. And Jesus is not weird. Did you hear me? Can I get a few amen on that?
Amen.
Jesus is not weird, right? Some of his kids are. Right? Some of his kids are. Some of God's children are weird, but that's okay. We still love them. They were weird before they got saved, and God's working that out of them. But if we're not careful, they can be weird and act, and some people in some circles will take that as being spiritual, and being spiritual doesn't mean you're weird. Just weird people before they be. Are you with me? We're on the same page with that. And so what happens is if, and sometimes people will take this concept of hearing God and they'll take it way out of context what the Bible says, and they'll act weird, they'll talk weird, they'll squint their eyes and really make everybody feel uncomfortable, and that's not the way it's supposed to flow. As a result, people get upset about this because these people are walking around talking about hearing voices all the time and having an angel, you know what I mean, turn down their bed before they go to sleep. Gabriel always makes my bed in the morning. How about you? Yeah, well, basically, AKA, they're either weird or very, very insecure and low self-image, and they try to make themselves feel better. So, I mean, and that's okay. That's their thing. But the reality is, we're going to keep this in balance to the Word of God. Because if you don't, some people will take it weird, and some people will go to the other extreme and say, oh, that's so weird. I'm not even going to come close to even studying that. I don't want to know about that because I don't want to be weird. And, you know, God really... He that was early church in Acts that he talked to people. I don't know if he does it now, but if he does, it's probably just to the full-time ministers, and we'll let them tell us what God says. And that's not the plan of God either. Your Heavenly Father wants you to know, as a child of his, you have a right, a spiritual heritage, and there's power and benefit to this, to be able to identify and know the voice of God. You don't have to make life's decisions based on the circumstances at hand or the problems you're dealing with. Or what you really, really, really emotionally want. And that's what most people will try to find the mind of God. And what do they do? They look around and say, well, that's a hard road, and this is the easy road. It must be the easy road, because I'm going to be led by the Spirit, and I'm not going to try. It's just all going to come easy to me. Well, you can't find that in Scripture. God, you can look in Scripture, and God will tell his people, I want you to go over there and preach the gospel. Ananias, I want you to go, Paul, you know, or Saul at the time, this guy that has been killing and persecuting New Testament Christians. I want you to go, he's in this town, and pray for him because he's lost his sight. He's the one that's threatening all the Christians. He is famous for anti-killing or anti-Christianity. He is killing and imprisoning men, women, and children. He is equal opportunity to anybody who says they're a Christian. He's torturing them, killing them, and imprisoning them. Ananias, yes, Lord. I want you to go. Where, Lord? To this place. Why, Lord? There's a guy named Saul. I want you to pray for him. Wait a minute. That's not easy. That's a risk. Well, Lord, are you sure? This is the guy that is bragging about how many people he's killed, how many Christians that he's killed and in prison. Yeah, but I'm going to use them for my glory. Go pray for him. Now, most Christians in our modern day, especially spirit-filled world, we would say, I don't feel the Lord. Lord, I don't feel you leading me that. I know I'm hearing you telling me that, but I'm not feeling that today. Because we look for the place of least resistance. But sometimes God will ask you to do something that can be a challenge or take a little extra energy or might not be easy. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We don't need to make decisions in life like this story I told about the guy who went to visit his friend and noticed that out on the side of his barn, he had all these targets and a bullseye in every target. And he went to him and said, how in the world did you get that good of a shot? Every shot you took was a bullseye. And he goes, it's easy. I shoot first and then I paint the target in last. A lot of Christians, we do that. We make a decision first and then we'll paint Jesus around it afterwards. We'll make a decision, and then we try to figure out how we can sell it to everybody so we look spiritual. Oh, you know, the Lord's leading me to do this and all that. No, that wasn't the Lord. You already made a decision to what you wanted to do without even asking him, and now that you've already made that decision, committed to it, now you're trying to make it look pretty. But you can put lipstick on a pig, and it doesn't make it pretty. You can paint around it, and it doesn't make it right. And so this finding the mind of God will help us stay in God's will, stay in God's best, grow and deal with problems and deal with opportunities and know what God wants us to know. And a big key in that walking through with faith is being able to hear God speak to you. Not that you walk around and hear voices. You walk around and you're just talking to yourself. Hey, what are you doing? I don't know. What are you doing? I don't know. And you're like, what? No, you might find yourself in a padded room by the end of the day if you walk through work talking to yourself. Did you hear me?
Amen.
There's a balance to this. Finding the balance of the truth of God's word is imperative. It's so important because if you don't, you will go off path. And when you get off to the sides of the road, before you know it, you're going to find yourself in the ditch along the roadside of life, wondering, what in the world happened? I thought I was doing right. We want you to know that, one, you can hear God's voice as he speaks to you. God is speaking. But it's not a matter of you just trying to look for voices. Last week we talked about how does God speak to you? And we went through some very powerful principles that I believe help each and every one of us, how God speaks. And God can speak to you where you can hear the voice of God, or he can impress upon your heart or reveal his word to you. But if you go around looking for voices, the devil will surely show up just to deceive you. Too many people have been deceived because they went looking to hear a voice instead of being open to hear God's voice. Let me say that again. Too many people have been deceived looking for a voice instead of being open to hear God's voice. The Bible says that the devil will come as an angel of light. Paul was so specific about this. He said, listen, church, if you have an angel show up and preach another gospel than what I'm preaching, let him be accursed, which means he's not real. He's fake. He's a liar. Might be an angel. He might be telling you. But if it's not aligned with the gospel I'm preaching, it is not from God. Because if we look for the spectacular to define God, the devil can demonstrate spectacular too. The Bible tells us. You got to keep coming back to the Bible. The Bible tells us that the false prophet Antichrist in the last days will have lying signs and wonders in the heavens, which means they can demonstrate the spectacular, but that doesn't validate. It's interesting how we define and validate God's word, God's will. We'll look at it. Well, it must be God's will because the opportunity was there. It must be God's will because it was such a hard day, so God wants me to do something else. It must be God's will because I really, 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 really want it. It must be God's will because so-and-so told me it was God's will. And all those things we get led by, and most of those things aren't from God and can really mess us up if we don't learn how to hear from God for ourselves. Because people are people. Even if they're genuine and sincere, they can make a mistake. But it's not like, well, it's their fault. I just did what they say. No, you're the driver. You're responsible for your life. And I've had people, good men of God that I know hear God, they'll say, hey, Greg, I feel God's telling me to tell you that you need to do this. And in my heart, I knew that's not what God was telling me to do. They just missed it, but that's okay. Good people, we all miss it. And if you feel like you can never miss it, you're on or you're walking on thin ice because you're getting yourself to a place of pride and you'll find yourself falling. Only Jesus is perfect. Thank you for the excitement. Okay. So how do we hear God's voice? In the context of a frequency, it's like a radio station. It can be playing music, but until we learn to tune in, we'll no longer hear what's going out, what's being played. How do we tune in to the frequency of God? How do we position ourselves so that we can be open to hear God? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Would you bow your head and pray? Father, I ask you and I thank you, first of all, for every person that's here today. We thank you for your goodness and your will and your word, that you're not trying to play games or hide your plans from us, but you want to reveal and speak to our hearts. So I pray for each and every one of us that we will develop or even advance in what we've already developed, the ability to hear you. Not being moved by the things around us, but being led and directed by you and your word. So I ask for supernatural hearing, supernatural obedience, and supernatural results, not only in my life, but in the life of every friend of mine that's here today. Lord, bless them and touch them, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
If we look for voices, the devil will try to show up. He can deceive. But if you follow and find what God is saying, it will bring your life to a whole nother level. How do we tune in? How do we tune into the voice of God? If you have your Bible, if all of you have your Bibles, you can turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10 is going to be our key verse. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 27. Because we've all been around somebody who said, God told me to tell you, or God told me to do this. How do we find, how do we tune in the frequency of God to know for ourselves what God is saying in our lives? John 10, 27, my sheep, look at that. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. Jesus is speaking. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hears my voice. My sheep. When you're a Christian, you come into the family of God. But you can be a Christian and just get saved. And if we're not careful, we will think that's the end and not the beginning. And we'll say, okay, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's all I need to deal with. I'll come to church from time to time. That should be good enough. I'm not killing anybody. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm just doing my own thing. That's good enough. And not realize that you are going to be robbing yourself what God has for you. Because you don't know what God is saying to you because you've never developed. You haven't learned to become a sheep. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep. So if you're taking notes, one of the things that will help us to develop, to be able to hear God's voice. And I want to encourage you. It is a challenge. And most of us, if you've been saved for any length of time, we've tried this. We've all been here. Have you ever had a time where you had a problem and you need God to speak to you about the answer? And so you tell yourself, I'm going to go pray, and I'm going to pray until God tells me. And you go in with good intentions. I'm going to stick it out. I am not leaving this prayer closet, this room, this whatever. I am not leaving until I hear from heaven. And you go and you start praying, and you're praying, and you're praying. And you're like, how many hours have I been here? You look down, it's been 7 minutes. Oh, Jesus. And I'm praying. And I'm praying. And you're praying, and you're praying, and you're praying. And finally, if you're not careful, you start getting tired. And if you're not careful, your imagination starts filling in the gaps. And you're exhausted. Why? Because you go in trying to make God tell you something.
Right.
Instead of looking for God to speak to you in a moment, I believe a key element is to always be open for him to speak to you at any moment. Instead of saying, okay, God, you got 5 minutes. Go. Give me the heaven download. Come on, you. 2 minutes left. 30 seconds. 10, 9. Now, instead of trying to control God or box God in and put him in time, your timetable and say, all right, Lord, I'm going to church. I expect to hear something about this problem. And if I don't, someone's in big trouble, mister. We wouldn't do that. But a lot of times we box God in. I say, God, I want you to speak to me right now. And we go into the moment of you have to speak to me because I said I want you to speak to me right now about this. Instead of a better way is learning to be open, to be a sheep, to be open for God to speak to you at any time. Because he might speak to you while you're praying. Praise God. But he's not limited to speaking to you while you're praying or going to church on Sunday. He might speak to you while you're driving your car on Monday. He might be speaking to you while you, he'll just, out of the blue, you're just paying bills. All of a sudden, God brings something to your heart and tells you what to, whoa, come on. I wasn't expecting that. Amen. See, you're not, you might not be looking for God to speak to you in that moment, but we learn to prepare ourselves to be open for him to speak to us at any moment. And not try to box God in and say, all right, here's your time slot. Here's, go. Sorry you missed it. And if we're not careful, that's what we do. We go to church. Okay, Jesus, here's your time. Hit me with whatever you want to hit me. Got so many minutes. Go. All right, I got to get out. I'll see you next week. Hopefully you got something better to tell me next week. Because I didn't think I got anything this week. So how do we get this process working where we're open, available for God to speak to us? Because it doesn't mean you have to be praying to hear God speak to you. But prayer is important. So you're taking notes. Number one, we have to be spiritual. We have to be spiritual. Let me throw it this way. You don't have to be weird, but you need to be spiritual. Yeah. You don't have to talk slower than you normally talk. But you have to be spiritual. You don't have to be abrupt. You know, I had a guy, and if this is your personality, praise God. But if it's not, let's find a balance. I had a guy that I had hired to work in my house. I don't give his name. And he was actually out of the church, or from the church. And so he was working, and we had some other subs come in to drop off something. And he was just a great guy, talking normal. But all of a sudden, when these subs came in, he went into like a churchy mode. Y'all go to church? Right in their face. And they're like, no. Well, praise God. We're believers. We're tongue-talking Christians. We go to church all the time. You ought to come. And just, he thought he was witnessing. It's embarrassing the snot out of me. I didn't want to be a part of the group. I was like, I don't want to just slowly back myself out. It would be one thing if that was him. It's another thing when he put on the act just because they walked in the door. And you would think, well, he's getting the gospel out. No, he's making himself look foolish. Most people walk away saying, that was weird. That was awkward. And folks, Jesus wasn't weird, but he had a lot of people following him. So being spiritual doesn't mean you're weird. Doesn't mean you float and levitate 2 inches off the ground. No, if that's your personality, to be weird, just be weird. Jesus worked that out of you. But that's not spiritual. Did you hear me? That's not spiritual. And that's where we get confused, because all of a sudden people start developing this and they start learning to be spiritual and they begin to hear God's voice. And all of a sudden they become, here's another trap, we can become spiritually arrogant. Oh, you don't understand. I'm anointed. Jesus speaks to me and uses me all the time. I'm anointed. I'm fourth generation ministry. Oh, it's me and Jesus. The rest of them are struggling. Me and Jesus. I'm the apple of his eye. Everybody else is like way down there, but it's like me and Jesus. Spiritual arrogance. See, when God begins to speak to you and you begin to develop in these things that God uses you, that's not a time for you to become arrogant. That's a time for you to be humble. Because if you understand the perspective that if the Lord can use a donkey in the Old Testament to speak. You know, I mean, I'm just trying to bring a little balance to this. Because he said, my sheep hear my voice. This shouldn't be the unusual or the elect or the elite. This should be the common. See, if you just want me to hear God's voice for you, then you will stay in a place of infancy spiritually and also a dependence on me. And if I'm having a bad day, Pastor never has a bad day. Just everybody around him acts up. It's not his fault. You know, when everybody around you is crazy, maybe you're the one that's crazy. You know, have you ever known that? So anyway, so if I'm having a bad day, it might not. See, but when you're able to hear God's voice for yourself and know the mind of God, how do we become spiritual? Let me give you a couple of verses about this spiritual thing, though. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We have to become spiritual. We have to develop this in our life. We have to become spiritual. We're children of God, but we have to become sons and daughters of God. We have to become spiritual. If you just stop with, hey, I prayed the prayer and I go to church from time to time, you're missing out so much that your Heavenly Father has for you. There's so many things that beyond description that he has for you. We have to learn to become spiritual. Most people think spiritual, it can be weird. It's not weird. But if you're not spiritual, you can't receive the things from the Spirit of God because they won't make sense to you. Have you ever had God speak to you or do something in your life, something that was amazing, maybe when you first got saved, and you went and told somebody expecting them to jump right in and say, that is awesome, and they don't get it? Why? Because they're carnal and natural. They're not going to get the things of God. But that's a good thing. It doesn't mean that you have to, if God's speaking in your heart to do something, you don't have to tell everybody. I mean, that's just a little bit of maturity. Don't cast your pearls before swines, which means you don't have to blab everything. People who blab everything usually don't, people who blab secrets usually don't get the good secrets. Let me say that again. They went over here. People who blab secrets usually never get the good secrets. Because the good secrets they can't trust you with. Because you'll blab them. Wow. Okay. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We have to become spiritual. Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I was in the Spirit and I heard. How do we? We have to become spiritual. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We have to become spiritual. Carnally minded is death, which doesn't mean you're dying. It means separation from God. Carnal mind can't receive. There's a disconnect. They can't receive. It doesn't make sense to them. You can talk all day about what the Lord's doing in your life, and someone look at you, and if they don't know the Lord and they're not spiritual, they're going to look at you like, yeah, but what about this? You know what I mean? And they're just totally in a whole different camp, different world. Doesn't mean they're bad. Doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love them. It's just that they can't make that connection. That's okay. We have to be spiritual. We have to be spiritually minded, you can say. Now, how do we do that? Let's bring some practical applications so we're all on the same page. Number one, how do we bring that or make that happen for us to be spiritual or spiritually minded? Because you're saved by grace through faith. You're saved because of the cross of Jesus. You're saved because of the blood of Jesus who come into the family of God as children of God. But we have to develop a spiritual maturity so we can become sons and daughters of God. The Bible says that a child can be heir of all things, but he's still under the tutor that's controlling and creating the boundaries and his limitation until he is of mature age and then can be son and daughter. See, it's the sons and daughters that have access to what God. And you take that from the parable when the prodigal's father said, listen to his other son, the older brother, listen, you've never left me, but all that I have belongs to you. Most people don't know how to access what God has for them. As you grow into things of God and build your faith and see God changing you, you're able to access more what God has for you that he's trying to get to you. But first, to hear God's voice, we have to be spiritual. We have to be spiritually minded. How do we do that? Anytime you start talking about the mindset or your thinking, you have to come right back. And number one, we have to get the word in our life. We see this out of Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world. Notice, Romans, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Well, we'll get to it eventually. Be not conformed to this world. There we go. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can know the mind of God, the will of God for yourself, and it comes out of a transformation. Not a conformity of you following a bunch of checklists, but a transformation. An internal. See, when you get saved, the Bible says that the seed of God, the nature of God, is imparted into you. And Paul tells us to build this thing out. He says it in the King James, to work it out. It doesn't mean that you have to work to be saved. It means the salvation process that began in your spirit that made you alive to God. Have you noticed when you first get saved or when you lead someone to the Lord, their hair still looks the same. Their clothes hasn't changed. And you know what? Some of their bad habits may be still there. But they're saved. But now we got to allow what God began in the inside of us, the core of us, to start affecting everything from the inside out. Otherwise, you can be a Christian, and you can be a Christian and be saved in, for 40 years and go to church every Sunday. And we know people that are like this. None here, just so you know. And sit on the front row. So all of you in the front row are like, oh, man, no. Say 40 years, coming to church for 40 years, sit on the front row and never change and still have the same bad attitude. Still have the wrong mindset. Why? Because we don't allow the word to change us. Look at that verse again. Let's throw it back up. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. Don't be shaped by your surroundings, but be transformed. Let it come not from the outside in, but let it come from the inside out. Because the human tendency is we allow the pressures on the outside to mold us who we are. Why you got some ugly, bad attitude? Well, you don't know what they've been doing to me. Outside in. Why do you do that? Well, you don't know where I came from. Outside in. If you're only happy when the outside makes you happy, you're not going to be as happy, or you're not going to be happy as much as God wants you to be happy in life. Because you're waiting for the outside to make you happy on the inside. But if you learn to get happy on the inside, it can change the outside. Come on, somebody. Don't be conformed. Don't be conformed. Don't be pressured in a shade by your circumstances, because you might not be in a great scenario. You might not have a great job today, but once you get the seed of God wants to make you blessed and a blessing, that can change, and one day that job will change. But if you're waiting for that job to change for you to become generous and blessed, it might not ever happen. You have, as a child of God, a right to see your outside change by getting the inside and releasing what God's doing on the inside. Get the word in you. It changes your thinking. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We talked last week, and you're going to get that CD free today as we invest in the word of God into your life, because the word works. The word is powerful. The word changes. It's not mind over matter. It's the word over any situation. Luke 8, Mark 4, Matthew 13. Get the word in your heart and your life. It will produce a change. The word works. The word works. And yet too many people, this is foundation. This is what you build on, because you're trying to find the will of God that you might know what is God's perfect will for your life. It starts by getting the word in you. And anytime someone takes you away from the word, it's an error. Oh, we don't have to read the Bible anymore. We have the Holy Spirit speaking to us. He's the one. That's what we listen to. Should you listen to the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. But I'm telling you, if you don't know the word of God, when you're following what you believe to be the voice of the Holy Spirit, it might not be the voice of the Holy Spirit. It might be a deceiving devil who's trying to sidetrack you from doing what God wants you to do, becoming what God wants you to become. I'm talking to somebody. Receiving what God wants you to receive. Because there's so many voices, James says, in the world. And there's a tendency with all the voices that are screaming at us to get you to move and to reposition yourself on how you believe and what you're looking to receive. But when you connect with God, you can know the mind and will of God. Even when storms around you, you've built your life on the rock of His word, and you will stand because you're not changing all the time. God's going to heal me. I don't know if God's going to heal me. God's going to heal me. I don't know if God's going to heal me. You got to make up your mind. You have to become one mind. Get your mind lined up with the word of God. The transforming, the renewing of your mind that you may prove. Get the word. I'm telling you, if you want to know how to hear the voice of God, it begins by the word of God. Very simple. I know you're looking for the spectacular. I know you're looking for some crazy first step that's way out there. I've never heard that before. Oh, pastor, give me something I haven't heard before. Well, let's start doing what you have heard before we start talking about what you haven't heard. Well, I'm looking for a hand, how to get the hand of God to write on the wall. He did it in the Bible. He can do it every morning. I like to wake up and see on that wall I have in my bedroom, the handwriting of God. Listen, if you can't follow the written word, you'll never get to the place of following the spoken word. If you can't follow what God tells you in the written word of God, oh, why? That's not really for me. And God's speaking to your heart. You need to do this. Oh, that's not for me. You close it. And then when God does speak to you, you won't be ready. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but he'll remind you of what I've said. The Word of God. John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He'll remind you of me. He'll remind you of the Word. Why do I got to keep saying that? Because too many times I see good people and some that have been in the church world and are great prayer warriors, and we believe in praying. But you can pray all day, but if you don't have any Word in you, you know what's going to happen?
Come on.
You're like a kite that's trying to fly in the right direction with no stability of a string, and you're going to be blown by any wind. Why? Because you don't know what's of God and from God and what's not, because you're just depending on something you hear. And when you just look for voices, the devil will use that. It's got to be built on the Word. Anytime anyone or anything speaks to you that says they're from God, that takes you outside the boundaries of the Word of God. But the Bible says this, yeah, but the Lord spoke to me. You don't understand, Pastor. I've been in this thing for a long time, and I pray a lot. And I thought, I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he told me, but the Bible says, but enough of the Bible stuff. I heard the Lord tell me. The Holy Spirit told me. But it says in the Bible, I'm not bound by the boundaries of the Word. I have something, I have a direct revelation from the Spirit of God. That stuff happens. Why? Because they didn't make the Word the priority. It's the foundation and the number one priority. Anything, I don't care if an angel shows up in your room glowing and wakes you up and says, I'm Gabriel. And here's what I want you to do. Tell your neighbor that you're going to marry his wife. It's of me, saith the Lord. Yes, Gabriel. It's from God. It must be from God. God knew that my marriage wasn't great. And so he supernaturally moved my future spouse right next door to me. It's a sign from God. And God told me this morning to divorce my wife and marry the neighbor's wife. God spoke to me. But that's not in the Word. That's called adultery. It don't matter what the Word. God told me. You see why people get offended and bent out of shape about people who say they hear from God when they do really weird and stupid stuff. And blame Jesus. Again, that's shooting and then painting around. Bullseye. Must be the Word. The Word, the Word, the Word. The Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Get the Word in your heart. Get the Word in your heart. Get the Word in your heart. It's the foundation for God to speak to you. It's like trying to teach a child calculus. And they're only 8 years old and they're still trying to learn addition and subtraction. We got to start somewhere. Get the Word. The Word is the foundation. And it's not something, I'm beyond that. You don't go beyond the Word. It always comes back to the Word. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So we have to get the Word. I've seen too many people do weird stuff. And we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We mentioned this last week. But if somebody comes up to you and says, the Lord told me to tell you, even if they hear God all the time, and they come up to you and say, the Lord told me to tell you, and it's not in line with the Word of God, throw it away. And let me just be real specific. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Hi. No, you're fine. I just didn't expect it. I thought you were an angel for a second. Angel with a Nets hat, ball cap on. Didn't know Jesus cared about who won. No, I'm joking. If somebody comes up, and folks, I so want you to get this and develop in your life so you are never vulnerable or a victim to even people in the church world. Because if somebody comes up to you and says, the Holy Spirit told me to give you a word, can God use people to give people a word? Absolutely. Okay? But it will always be in line with the Word of God. Now lean a little bit so I know you're listening to me. And number two, you're not leaning. Okay. Lean in a little bit so I know you're listening. And you're all like, does that mean you're not listening? I mean. Okay. So, and number two, it always got to be aligned with the Word of God. And number two, it always, always will be a confirmation to what God has already spoken to you. If somebody comes up and says, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you, you need to quit your job, tell your boss you don't need him, you're going to depend just on Jesus, and it's a new revelation for you, guess what? If you do it, you're going to be wondering, Jesus, where are you? He's like, I'm back at your job. I didn't tell you. Too many people make major decisions because someone told them that they heard from God. No, it'll always be in line with the word, and it'll be confirmation. But if we don't know the word, we'll run into that challenge. Number two, we need to develop a lifestyle of prayer. This is just not praying over food. Lord bless his food. And you got to love people. Sometimes you think that's the only time they pray because how long they take to pray. I tell that story about I was eating lunch with somebody and they were praying. They were praying for every orphanage in the world and every missionary. And my food was getting cold. I done figured out that while their eyes are closed, they're praying, I could eat half my meal. By the time they got to amen, I was like, amen, that's wonderful prayer. Oh, who ate my food? Some of you are like, that's disrespectful. Lighten up a little bit. Get a personality. Get a sense of humor. But sometimes we overanalyze and so frustrated, and we think prayer is just about praying before food. So you pray before food? Absolutely. Good thing to do. Don't pray for 30 minutes. Food be cold. Unless you like leftovers, then you're in good shape. But develop a rhythm of prayer. And what happens in our church world is because when you pray, especially praying in the Spirit, you develop a sensitivity. Jude verse 20 says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, when you pray, spend time in life praying, it will develop you to be sensitive. Now listen, we go back to this original point. Not to force God to speak to you, but to be open for God to speak to you. What happens in our church world, and it's a natural thing, is if we're not careful, we will try to make a connection and think that if we have something coming up that we need God to do, then we just need to pray a little harder, and then God will have to do it because we prayed. Oh, Lord, I need a little more money. I need that bill paid. I got a Bible study coming up, and I want it to be really good. So I'm going to pray, because if I pray more, I'll get a better Bible study. Now, there's a fine balance here, so you got to stick with me. Don't allow your imagination to stray. Is there a connection to a prayer and seeing results? Absolutely. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. But the problem is when we begin to develop a mentality of our prayers are a bartering system with God. Oh, I need a new car. Let's see, that would take probably about, that's a 3.2-hour prayer. I can tell right there. I need prayer. Oh, I know I'm going to have a good service Sunday because I prayed. I know the boss is going to give me a raise because I prayed. I know I'm going to have good sales this week because I was praying hard all week. And all of a sudden, what we have done is we made a connection to what we're doing in a relationship of discipline to all of a sudden to what God's been trying to get to us out of covenant. So you receive those blessings and that healing and protection out of covenant by grace through faith, not of your works, even salvation, not of your works. It's like someone saying, how many hours do I have to pray to be saved? That's at least a 14-hour prayer, I think, right there. Then I can earn my salvation. And we try to earn from God. We try to earn from God based on our prayers. There's a balance here. There's a balance here. And we will make that connection. And what's weird is you might say, I'm going to have a great sales this week because I was praying all weekend. And not sell anything. And then the week you didn't pray at all, you have two sales. And you're like, man, what a great week. I had two sales this week. That usually never happens. And wait a minute, I didn't pray. I know, and the devil started messing with your logic and your reason. I know that I shouldn't pray because when I don't pray, I got sales. But wait a minute. I think on that Monday I ate waffles. So if I don't pray and eat waffles on Monday, I bet I can have a bunch of sales. That has to be it. No prayer, eat waffles on Monday. But the way I remember it, I thought for sure I wore sandals. That's got to be it. No prayer. Eat waffles on Monday morning and wear sandals. See, in the sports world, they'll do stuff like that. You ever notice? They'll do the same thing over and over again because one time they did it by accident and had a great game. And they keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, trying to get the same game. They call that superstition. How did superstition get into our prayer life? Why should I pray then, Pastor? If it's not to get stuff from God, maybe it's so that you can get to know Him. Should you ask God for stuff and pray? Absolutely. Again, Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. But if all your prayer life is just the give me what I need, what I want, maybe you're missing. There's a whole other level. Why don't you spend time praying so you can get to understand and know the presence of God in your life? I remember the first time in my own prayer closet when I experienced the presence of God come into my room, and I thought, wow, this is like being in a church with a lot of people, and there's really hot meetings, and there's nobody but me, and I'm in a room by myself as a teenager, and I felt God's presence. You get to know the Lord, not because you're trying to get something from Him, but so you can get to know Him. And as you get to know Him, what happens? It's not saying, God, you have an hour to speak to me. You are developing yourself to be open for God to speak to you at any time. I remember I was about 16 years old, and I just figured, you know what? I've grown up in church. My parents were pastors, and I thought, you know, I'm going to really, what I hear them say all the time, I'm just going to try it. Let's just try it. And so I began to pray every day. I want to be able to hear God's voice for myself. So I began to pray every day, just a little bit. And after a week, I had a little more. After a week, I had a little more. Now, don't just do that to do that, because I did it when I was 16. You're going to throw everything out. But that's what I did. I kept praying. And one night, about 2, 3 in the morning, probably about 2, I was awakened. Now, when you're awake in the middle of the night, no big deal. But I felt like the Lord placed on my heart, do you want to hear my voice? I thought, yes. And He said, get out of bed and begin to pray. And I crawled out of bed. I mean, when you're 16 and you crawl out of bed at 2 in the morning to pray on your knees, you know that has to be Jesus, because that's just not good. I don't know about you, but I like my sleep. So I remember I got out of bed, got on my knees, and began to pray for 1 hour, then 2 hours. And I prayed for 3 hours. You know what happens at the third hour? I went back to sleep. Called back in bed and went to sleep. I knew you were going to expect something like really dramatic. Like an angel showed up, and I reached for the light to turn it off, and it was already off from the beam of the brightness of the, you know. No, I didn't do that. That didn't happen like that. But what was cool, I went back to sleep. Woke up the next morning early, went to, got cleaned up. I was in the shower. Taking a shower, not in the prayer closet, in the shower. And when you're the morning rhythm, you're just kind of like, maybe you're a morning person, you start talking a lot, maybe you're not. But for me, I kind of like do a lot of processing, and I'm thinking and ideas across my mind. And as I'm thinking different stuff in my mind, all of a sudden I had an idea, but it didn't come from up here in my head. I felt it come down here from my spirit. And I heard the Lord say, now do you know the difference? And it was my beginning journey of learning to identify and discern the voice of God for myself. But I wasn't praying at the time. I was praying earlier. Nothing really happened when I was praying earlier, except it prepared me to be open to hear God. See, when you understand that you should pray, not because you're trying to get something this week from God, but you're praying to get to know Him so that you are open for Him to speak, not just when you're at church or when you're praying or worshiping, but at any time. My sheep hear my voice. Last but not least, we're running way out of time, so we're going to carry this into 2 Sundays, by the way. Let me give you the next one. So the word, prayer, and fasting. Jesus said when you pray, not if you pray. He also said when you fast, not if you fast. And that's when we all need to look down some and say, wow, that was interesting. I like that word and prayer idea. I'm not telling you how to fast, when to fast. You find your own rhythm. Once a year, once a month, once a week, whatever. Fast a meal, fast a day, that's between you and Jesus. But I will tell you that there is a noticeable difference when you learn to fast, and not just doing it to be religious, but when you're open for God, that might say, hey, I want you to take the next day, or I want you to take this next meal. When you're open to that, what happens is it helps you become, you might not have a spectacular experience, but it's developing you to become sensitive to the voice of God. Did you hear me? That's what we're going for, the long haul. We're not going for the quick fix things. The long haul. Because we want you to be developed so you can know how to tune into the frequency of God and know for yourself His voice and His word and His will. So we're not caught off guard, distracted. And we're all growing in this. No one's perfect. But we can all keep growing. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to take a break here, and then we'll come back next week and talk more about it. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.